Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversial. Chaos. And comedic. Spiritual. Chaos. For your listening pleasure.
You cannot tell me on the ideas what you're gonna say, what you wanna hear. You might take it back, and I'm gonna take it right. You might take it wrong, and I might take it right. Sit back, relax, and just chill with your bad self. Put your mouth and your pointy back on bottom.
Hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome to Spiritual Sense Life Radio Podcast. And hopefully everyone's had a wonderful and blessed week. Love, peace, joy, and blessings to each and every one of you. Again, I'm glad that you're all back for another Daily Bread message and more spiritual food for the soul. I am Tim the Overseer. And I'd just like to say I'm praying for each and every one of you. And I'm grateful for all the listeners. I'm grateful for Chaos Talk Radio and Derek Oliver. And I thank him for this platform to spread the message, the word of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you for listening. And again, blessings to you all. I'd just like to take this moment to express gratitude and to just tell the Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for my life, my soul, my health, my strength. I'm thanking for everything that he's blessed me to be and everything that he's blessed me with. And also I'm thankful for the trials and tribulations that have come into my life to bless me to be stronger. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you, the listeners. I'm grateful for your life, your health, your strength, your salvation. And if you have not yet obtained salvation, I'm definitely praying for you that you will at some point in time before the return of our Lord and Savior. I'd like to say, I'm grateful for this opportunity, and without further ado, because we have so much information to get into today, a lot with this word, this message, I'm going to go ahead and get right into it. But before we do, I would like to take this time out to say a quick prayer, actually, before we get started. And also, I would like to start from going forward. I would like to read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. Through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, which is the context of love out of the book of Corinthians, and also which what I taught about last week about love. So I'm going to start reading that each and every week, and then we're going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and get into the word. So at this moment, I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, okay? And this is what it says. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abide it faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, our soul, our health, and our strength, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you're going to do for us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the saints, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the many souls that are gathered, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the many that are believers, dear Heavenly Father, in your word, dear Heavenly Father. We come praying right now that you bless them and keep them, dear Heavenly Father, and protect them, dear Heavenly Father. Protect each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father, that we may continue to go forward and do your will, dear Heavenly Father, and that we may spread your gospel. Dear Heavenly Father, we come praying for those that have not yet believed. We come praying for their salvation, dear Heavenly Father, that they may be saved just as we have been saved, dear Heavenly Father. Bless them to see the light, dear Heavenly Father. Bless them to receive salvation, dear Heavenly Father. For those that are seeking for your word, dear Heavenly Father, bless them to find the word, dear Heavenly Father. Bless them to find the ministry that's going to bless their soul and give them salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we come praying for the world in this pandemic that those that have been affected and those that have lost loved ones, that you bless them and that they seek salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your word. We pray that all flesh be removed and that your Holy Spirit come in and teach your people. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead, family, and get right into today's message. Today's sermon title, I actually struggle with this title, because this title is in regards to Christ's return. And I know a lot of people know this message as the rapture. And I decided not to use the rapture because I couldn't find the rapture years ago in the Bible. In fact, I don't believe it's even in the Bible. And in fact, after doing some research, I kind of found out where it comes from. So I just said, well, I don't want to use the rapture. Instead, I thought on it and I meditated and I started to call the sermon the resurrection promise. And I had to think about it. I said, well, actually, it's not just about a resurrection. It's about the living and the dead. And so I said, well, a more suitable title, I believe, is the gathering together or called up. That's what I decided to call it, okay? The gathering together or called up. And that's actually a part of scripture, and that's why I decided to choose it, which we're going to be coming from the main scripture text, which is 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. Again, that's going to be 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. And before I get into the sermon, the message, I actually want to just do a quick summary because, again, it is so much information that I have for you that I've decided that I may do some continuation on this before I go into Revelation and end time things because it's just a lot of information to share with you, okay? And one thing I want to make sure that is understood is this return of Christ, this caught up of the church, Christ is returning to get the church. This is one of the great mysteries of the Bible. And if you remember a few weeks ago when I taught, I told you that every 2,000 years, my dad used to teach us when we were younger that a great event happens. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to return in this 2,000 years. It would be wonderful if he would. In fact, it would be wonderful if he stopped by today, okay? I wouldn't be mad. So, he used to say that every 2,000 years there's a great event that takes place. And guess what? We are now in that 2,000 years, and so we know that there's going to be some great event that happens. So, for example, when the flood happened, when the flood came during the time of Noah, it had not ever happened before, In fact, Yahweh made a promise with the rainbow. That's the symbolism of the rainbow, is that he said, I will not ever flood the earth again. Okay? And so we also know that Christ coming into the world, the Messiah being born, that was another great event. In fact, the greatest of all events, okay? And his return is going to be another great event, okay? And we'll get into the mystery of that here in the scriptures here in one moment. But I want to make one thing notable before I get into the word, is that a lot of people think this is Christ, the second coming of Christ. It actually is not. There's a confusion that people believe that when Christ comes back to get the church, that's actually the second coming. It's not. The first coming, he was born on the earth. He was on the earth. His return is a little different because he's not going to touch the earth. He's actually going to appear in the clouds in the sky. And the Bible talks about this in scriptures, which we're going to get into a little bit of it today. And it talks about when he returns, he's just coming back to get the believers, those that are living and those that have passed on, the dead is what the Bible calls it. Or if you want to be more politically correct, you can say the deceased. Paul called it sleeping. He said the ones who are believers, they're actually asleep. That's how Paul refers to those that have passed on. So what Paul was really saying was they're not actually dead. They're really what? Resting. They're sleeping. Okay? So when Christ returns, he's not going to touch the earth. He's not coming back. Now, when he comes back a second time, which we'll get into that a little later on, we'll probably continue that next week. We'll kind of get into the second return of Christ. But right now, today, we're just going to deal with the gathering together of the saints or being caught up. And when he returns, in fact, let me just go ahead and read the scriptures. Let's go ahead and get into some teaching, and we'll just go ahead and explain it in detail that way, okay? So, again, we're going to be coming from 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, verse 13 through 18. I'm going to read them first, and then we're going to go into the details of the word, okay? So hopefully I gave you some time to find 1 Thessalonians. I know this is one book that's a little challenge to find. It's in this part of what Paul wrote. It's kind of like it's part of the letters. It's kind of towards a little bit after Corinthians. So it's 1 Thessalonians, okay? 4th chapter, verse 13, and this is what it says. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay? Amen. And let me say this real quick. We as believers in this day and time have nothing to worry about. These things that are going on in the world, these things that are to come in the world, Paul said that we are to comfort one another with these words, that Christ is coming back to get the church. That's a promise that he made. And the reason that I'm taking the time out to say this, because in my years of witnessing to people and ministering to people, you know, people always got something smart, you know, smart comments to say. Well, if Christ is real, why hasn't he come back? When is he coming back? Well, they've been talking about Christ coming back all this time. You know, I remember in the 80s when I was in school, when I was a kid, they used to talk about how the end of the world was coming and things like that. They're always talking about the end of the world. Then when the millennium came, 2000, talking about the end of the world. And, you know, just so many times you keep hearing this end of the world talk. Well, I want you to know that that has always been for hundreds of years. And possibly for thousands of years, you know, since Christ left, there's always been the talk of the end of the world. In fact, when Christ left, when he ascended up into heaven, and they saw him, they was watching him go up into the sky, okay? After he left, they was really expecting him to come back soon. In fact, they was expecting Christ to return within his lifetime. And so if you think about it, if we think about it now, if we was to see Christ ascend up to heaven after he rose from the dead, and he ascends to heaven. And our expectation, well, he's coming back to get me. He says that he's coming back to get us, especially if we actually knew him, we saw him, we witnessed him. We're thinking, man, you know, Yeshua, he's coming back to get us any day now. That's our mindset. That's our mentality, that he's coming back soon. You know, but these people passed on, and hundreds of years passed on. And then hundreds turned to over 1,000 years, and now we're in that second 1,000 years. And so this has always been the case, that man has always figured that Christ is going to come back and return. So this is nothing new that we talk about Christ. The reason that I'm talking about him returning to get the church, the reason that I'm saying this is because it doesn't matter if Christ doesn't come back for another 10,000 years. Know that he made a promise to you that he's going to come back and get you. So whether he comes back today, next year, 10 years from now, or 100 years from now, or however long from now, do know that he's going to come back and get the church. Again, this is the promise that he made to us. So I want to just make that clear. And as you can see here in the scripture, as it talks about Christ being in the clouds and him being in the sky, how he's not actually going to come to the earth. As you can see in verse 17, it says that we're going to meet him where? In the air, in the clouds. Okay? So he's not going to actually touch down. So this is not the second coming of Christ. This is the return, which, you know, it used to be popular, you know, when I was growing up, that people called it the rapture. And I just decided to call it something different according to the word, which I decided to call it, again, the great the gathering together of the saints are called up. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to verse 13 and break it down. Again, I have a lot of information that I want to share with you, a lot of scriptures that I want to get into, share with you today. So verse 13, Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. What is Paul saying? Paul said, I want you to be knowledgeable. I want you to know. Okay, I don't want you to not know. And, you know, it's baffling that when you talk to saints, a lot of saints are not even aware that when Christ come back to get the church, that is not even the end of the world, okay? It's not. There's other events that must take place after Christ come back to get the church. Now, Christ's return to get the church is a great mystery, okay? And we're going to get into why it's a great mystery. But Paul said, I want you to know. Who is Paul talking to? He is talking to the saints. He's talking to the believers, those of us who believe. Now, you can know, by the way that it's written, that we know that he's talking to the saints. He says, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, Paul makes a difference here in the scripture from those of us who believe versus those who don't believe, okay? We are not to sorrow. We are not to be weary. Don't stay up at night worrying about the things that are going on in the world right now. Don't even worry about that. Don't be as concerned about your job and your business and your income. Now, I'm not saying not to be, but I'm saying remember that we serve a great and awesome God, and he can take care of us through these trying times. And so what Paul says is, hey, don't concern yourself so much, because we have what? The victory. We have won. And this is one of the great things. This is like one of the great things that Satan doesn't want us to know, especially the non-believers, is that you can receive salvation in an instant and that you are saved. You are basically protected. Okay? Now, I want to share some verses with you before not just yet. I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to share them with you. I'm going to move forward. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and look at verse 14 before I get into some more verses. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds like the sermon that I preached about on salvation a few weeks ago. It sounds like the plan of salvation. In fact, this is exactly what Paul's interjecting here. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So you mean to tell me all I have to do is believe that he died and that he rose again for me, and I'll be saved? Yes, this is exactly what Paul is saying. He says, even so, then which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So that means the past saints, I have loved ones that have passed on and gone on that were believers, that worked in the church, they believed, they were a praying family. He's going to bring them with him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That we're going to get to see our loved ones again. That's a very beautiful thing. And I just want to make note of something, because I've been hearing this over the years. It always baffled me once I learned about the great gathering together and how it works, and how when Christ returned to get the church, that you usually hear people say things like, my loved ones are looking down from heaven at me. And I always thought that was kind of funny once I learned about, you know, what happens to us when we leave this world. Well, your loved ones, you'll be surprised that your loved ones are not looking down on you. In fact, I wouldn't want to be looking down on at all the things that are going on in this world. It just wouldn't. I think it would stress me out of that. I want to look down and see all this evil going on in the world. And that's not peace. That's not rest. So your loved ones are not in heaven or somewhere up above looking down on you, you know, smiling or crying. That's not rest. In fact, the Bible talks about how when you pass away, you have absolutely no knowledge of this world any longer. You don't. The moment you close your eyes and leave this world, however way you leave this world, you have no knowledge of what's going on the next second. That's it. Your work is done here on this planet, on this earth. You're done. And then we're going to get into a little bit more scripture and explain that a little bit more, okay? Now, so in verse 14, Paul says what? If we believe, if we have the faith in what Christ, okay, if we have faith in him, God's going to bring the dead saints and also us to meet him in the air. Verse 15, okay, and now we're going to get into some more scripture, but let me read verse 15. It says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or asleep. So remember I said that Paul refers to those who believe that are dead as resting. They're sleeping. This is who Paul is talking about when he talks about those which are asleep. These are your loved ones that were in the church. Remember Big Mama and how they believe, and Grandmama and Nana and Meemaw and Gigi or whoever they were, your mama, your pawpaw, whoever these people were that were in the church strong. We had the saints. They were strong in the word. They were strong in the church, okay? And they believed for us. They prayed for us. And now they're going on, okay? We like to say they've gone on to glory. Okay, they're resting. We're going to see them again. But guess what? We're not going to prevent them. In fact, they're going to be raised first. Okay? Now watch this. I want to share with you some verses. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 51. And I'm just going to do just this one verse, because there's actually going to be two parts to this. Right now, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18, we're actually dealing with who? The dead saints, the believers that have passed on. This is what 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. This context is talking about those that have passed on, and this is who Paul is dealing with. Now, I'm going to have a part two in which I'm going to teach today, which is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I added some more verses to it. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 49 through 55, which is dealing with the saints who are still alive, okay? So there's two parts. Paul is talking about the great gathering together deals with two types of saints, the living and the dead, okay? So right now we're dealing with the deceased saints, but right now we're going to go ahead and look at a scripture over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 51, see what it says. Watch this. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is one of the great mysteries of this age that we live in, is that, one, we don't know when Christ is going to return. We have no idea. As I said earlier, it could be the next minute as I'm speaking. It could be next year. It could be the next within the next 10,000 years. This is one of the mysteries. This is a question mark, okay? We don't know when Christ is going to come back. And this is what Paul is writing about. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not what? All sleep. In other words, when he returns, there's going to be some that are going to be still alive. But he says that we shall all what? Be changed. Okay? And so we think about this mystery and say, well, what's so mysterious about it? Okay? The mystery is not, it's not so much a mystery to us to where we as believers understand that it's going to take place. When, we don't know that, but it is going to happen. The mystery is mainly to those who what? Don't believe, okay? In other words, it's almost as if it's some type of secret to where they don't believe. They don't have the spiritual. In fact, I'm going to read something that I was looking at earlier in one of my books that I was studying, how it talks about those who don't really believe because they're not saved. And so they don't have the spiritual significance and the truth. So it's only going to be revealed to who? Those of us who believe, okay? And so this is the great thing about being a believer. There is going to be a lot of things that we're not going to miss out on. And I pray that if you don't understand salvation, or if you feel like you don't have salvation, salvation is for everyone, okay? I don't want no one to be left behind. I don't want anyone to miss out on this, especially right now. And if you kind of remember a few weeks ago, I was saying that how I believe that we have passed through, into this new world. In fact, I remember telling one of my friends when I used to minister back home, I used to tell him how I believe that we are on the doorsteps of this new world. And so now I believe as in 2020, we've actually walked through this door and we are now on the inside of this new world. And we're going to see we're going to see some things that's going to let us know, especially for those of us who are believers according to the word. Again, it's not a secret to us that, hey, something is up, okay? It's like because of these events that are going on in the world, it's almost like saying, hey, you better get ready, okay? You better know that we're on the brink of this thing possibly happening. But again, do we know for sure? No, okay? These are part of the mystery that make up this return of our Lord and Savior, that we are expecting him to come back, right? Just like throughout the past, man is always expecting him, but as time grows nearer and nearer, we expect him what? Even more so now than ever, okay? So back to the scripture text, okay, because I don't want to get too much into verse 51 because there's a whole context that I'm going to come back to, and I'm going to read you what I was studying earlier in my little book. I have some little extra books for studying that I will share with you. I believe I've shared it with some of you at some point in the past, but I'll share with you again the tools that I use to study, okay, that I believe that will help you out, help the saints out as far as in your believing and your walk with our Lord and Savior, okay? So let's go ahead and get back over to 1 Thessalonians, and we left off at the 15th chapter, so I just want to make sure I'm not missing any verses because I have a lot of verses written down, so I just want to make sure I'm covering as much as I can. So verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I think that's such a beautiful scripture. I love to read this context, and I just love how it's written, because if you think about it, when we talk about the Lord himself, okay, so it's like this is the Lord himself, the Christ, the Messiah. We want to meet him. We desire to meet him. As I told you, this is not a troubling time for the saints. No, this is a time that we should what? Rejoice and be glad. We as the saints, we should be joyous at this time, because as the days pass, as the minutes and the hours pass, and we know we're getting closer and closer to our return of our Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter if we are alive or dead, because as you see, as what Paul said that we shall all be what? Changed. So the same thing is going to happen for those who are deceased as is for those who are alive. Even though they're going to be first, Paul made sure to know that, guess what? Even though they're going to be first, we're going to all be changed. We're all going to receive this what? Reward, this everlasting reward. And I can't wait to get into these scriptures to teach you some things. But before I do, in verse 16, there's some things that I want to point out. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, see, did you hear that? With a shout. Let me tell you something. You can walk out to the graveyard right now and visit any of your past deceased loved ones, and you can shout to the top of your lung. And, you know, the people out there may think, okay, what's wrong? This person must be crazy. What are you shouting for? And they won't hear you. They're not going to come out that grave. Did you hear that? They're not going to wake. But Christ has all power. He has the power in his hand over who? Over death. That all he's going to do is speak. He's going to shout. And those that are in the grave and dead, ooh, that's going to be a day. That's powerful. They're going to hear him in the grave. And guess what? Because now he has the death. Oh, I mean, he has the power. I'm sorry. He has the power over who? Death and hell. Okay, some like to use Hades to be politically correct, but hell is in the Bible. He has the power over death and hell, and what's going to happen is those graves are going to open up. They have to give up the what? The saints, the believing saints are going to come. Christ now has conquered what? The grave. He's conquered death, and when he calls for it, it's going to come to pass. He is the Word. This is why he's called the Word of God. Because at his word, it must come to pass. He has the power to call someone that is dead. Remember when he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead? And he just went to the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. He has that power. Okay? But now he has the power. See, I'm going to break it down a little bit more, what all he has the power here in just one moment. But I want to share that with you, how much power that he has. And it is believed that there's going to be the sound of a trumpet. And the scripture says that the dead in Christ shall rise, okay? Now, I don't want to get too in-depth into that, but they believe it's going to be the sound of three trumpets are going to sound. That's the belief, okay? But I don't want to stray you too far away from the context of what we're focusing on. We're talking about the return of Christ to coming back to get us, the saints. This is how much he loves us, him and his heavenly Father. And through the Holy Spirit, power that he has to give us the greatest gift. I told you all last week, for the past couple of weeks, I cannot think of any other gift that I'd rather have than what? Eternal life, okay? So let's go ahead and get into some more scriptures here. Let's go ahead and go over to Matthew's, the 24th chapter, verse 30. Again, that's going to be Matthew's, the 24th chapter, verse 30. We're going to look at some more. Get into some more scriptures. I tell you, I got a lot of scriptures here. I got to kind of move a little bit. Time is kind of moving. So, okay, here we go. Matthew 24, chapter, verse 30. This is what it reads. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with the power and great glory. Man, I'm telling you, that's going to be a sight to behold. This is the mystery right here. That's going to be a sight. And the reason that it is a mystery, because as I told you about the flood, and as I told you about the Christ coming, the Messiah coming, him being a gift to the world, this is going to be an event that the world is not going to expect. The world is the one that don't believe it. You know, I can't. It's like you would love to see the look on their face. It's like you need to pick up your jaw, pick your jaw up. You see, you don't want people to miss it, but because people want to be arrogant, they want to be smart, they want to be non-believing. We praying for them. Don't get me wrong. We love them. Okay, we love them. We don't want them to miss out on this great event. But guess what? We're going to get to witness this great event. In fact, let me share a story with you real quick. Let me share this story with you about one of my brothers, and the Heavenly Father rest his soul. He used to always say when I was little how he didn't want to go to heaven. And I just couldn't believe that. I was like, man, we raised in the church. What you talking about? You don't want to go to heaven. We all want to go. I mean, we all do our thing. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm a young man, let's say the thing. Well, we all do our thing, but I don't think I want to just write myself off that way, just say, hey, you know. But we understand, you know, that sometimes we get so wrapped up in this life to where sometimes we don't see, you know, the bigger picture. You know, I was once lost, and even though I didn't write myself off to hell that way, and understand that at that time I didn't understand that hell and the lake of fire are two different places, but we thought hell was the lake of fire, okay? But it's not. But even though I was doing those things worthy of eternal death, if I would have passed away, that's where I would have been, irregardless of what I thought, because I wasn't a believer at the time. Even though I was raised in the church, and remember I told you before, make no mistake about it, that you're not going to mistakenly get into heaven. That's just not how it works. Now, my point is that I am so grateful that he did get saved before he left this world, and that's the most blessed thing, that I would get to see him again. But I just thought about, you know, in reading the scripture and studying this, how sometimes people in the world are going to miss out because they're so wrapped up in money, they're so wrapped up in wealth and success and, you know, the next big thing, and that we're all, well, I'm not going to say we're all, but at some point we all were chasing the wrong thing, okay? We were. We were so focused on what we can get out of the world, and all the word is trying to do and reveal to us is that that's not where it's at. The greatest gift is what? Eternal life. The greatest thing that you will ever receive in existence is to live for all eternity. That's the most blessed thing. And as you can see here in the scriptures, that this is going to be a beautiful thing. And I can't help but to imagine how wonderful it's going to be when we see him and we're caught up in heaven. It's going to be, the mystery is going to be so great, because the interpretation of the word mystery when I studied it wasn't that so much that it was a mystery, meaning a mystery to the English language, but the interpretation was is that this was something that was unheard of, something that was unseen. No one could see this great event coming. This is how great and wonderful it's going to be to see Christ in the clouds. He just gathered up all the elect from all four corners of the world. His shadow just, they're just waking up and coming out of the, that's going to be a beautiful event. Oh, we're going to be just so just like, I cannot believe what is happening. It's going to be a wonderful and joyous time for us that believe. And, man, I am so grateful that I've become a believer, that I'm a saint. And I pray that if you're listening to this message right now and you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, as I just stated, all you have to do is believe that the Heavenly Father raised him from the dead and that he died for your sins, and you shall be saved. Again, you don't have to do – you don't have to turn around three times and sprinkle salt over your head. Just believe. That's all that you have to do. I'm telling you, it's just that simple. Don't miss this opportunity. Like they say, don't miss the train. You know, my dad used to talk about the glory bound train. Don't miss the train. Get your ticket now, okay? The great thing about the tickets is that they're free. You don't have to pay anything for them. Christ has already paid the price for your salvation. And so what? You going to miss this because of what? Trying to become a billionaire? You going to miss this because trying to become an entertainer or someone that's in entertainment? You going to miss this becoming the greatest athlete in the world? You going to miss this for the world? Hey, I wouldn't miss this for the world. This is the greatest thing that you want to be a part of, is the return of Christ as a saint. Okay? So let me move forward. Okay? I kind of got a little off a little bit because I got on my soapbox there. But let me move forward and get back to the scripture. So we're going to go back because I have a lot of things I want to show you. We're going to go back over to 1 Thessalonians. Okay? And we're going to look at, in fact, we're going to go over to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Okay? And I just want to share some of the scriptures to you, and you can study them on your own time. I want to share these verses with you just to give you more on this subject. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." Now you think about that. They wrote this hundreds and hundreds of years ago, possibly over 1,000 years ago, closer back to toward the time of Christ. And he said that the day of Christ is at hand. They said that hundreds of years ago, over 1,000 years ago, they said the day of Christ is at hand. As I stated to you, we don't know when he's going to return. But guess what? The day of Christ is what? It's really always at hand because the Bible says, no man know the day nor the hour. So he can, in other words, he can come at any time. We don't have time to play and say, oh, I'm going to wait to get saved after I do this. I'm going to wait to get saved after I do that. Hey, I used to be one of those people. I ain't did enough yet. I'll get saved when I get older. You know, that's a funny story because I used to always think I had time that I was going to get saved when I got older. I said, I'm going to wait until I get old. Well, one, you don't want to wait because, again, you don't know. You can leave the next moment. Number two, you want him to be able to use you while you're young and vibrant, okay? So think of it as like an athlete. Who can use an old athlete? Nobody can. They want athletes win when they're young, when they're vibrant, okay, when they have the ability to do so many things. And this is how it is in the kingdom. He wants you in your youth because he can use your influence. He can use your ability, your gifts, your talents when you're younger, more so when you're younger. Now, I say he can't use you when you're old, so let's make sure we clarify that because I don't want nobody to think that you can't get saved at a certain age. No, you can always get saved. You can be 101 years old. If he blessed you to be as old as Methuselah, you can still get saved. Okay? Salvation is for everyone. So let me read verse 3. We're going to move on. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." See, I like the way Paul writes. I like the way the word is written. It says, by any means, don't let nobody fool you. Family, let me tell you this. I've been on social media watching people and just some of the silly things that I hear. I've heard so many silly things to where people are trying to discount the Bible. They try to discount if there's a God. Man, don't fall for any of that foolishness, okay? Don't fall for any of that because that's exactly what it is. As sure as the birds sing in the morning when you open your eyes, as sure as that sun shining through your window in the morning, there is a God. And you can rest assured that he's coming back and he's going to have his day. He's going to judge the living and the dead, okay? Okay? So in that context, when I say the living and the dead, I'm talking about he's going to judge those that believe. He's going to judge those that don't believe, okay? So by any means, don't let anyone tell you anything different, that there's not a Christ, that there's not a Heavenly Father, and there's surely not a Holy Spirit. Of course there is. They do exist. Now watch what it says in the scripture. It says, "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." When we was in school, when I was in class, we talked about this because this is part of eschatology. We did a subject on this. And one of the things that they pointed out was that this is talking about the falling away of the church. There's a huge misconception and interpretation from what I've observed in the church over the years that people think the falling away means that people are going to be saved and then they're going to walk away from their salvation. Which if you know like I know, and from what I've been teaching over the past week, that that's not possible. There is no scripture to support that, okay? You're not going to walk away from your salvation. This is not what this Bible is saying. It's saying that men will, as the time goes, we're in that time now, they have less desire to want to go to church, to want to be saved, to live for the most heavenly Father, to walk in the Spirit. We see that right now with so many different things going on in the world. In fact, let me just be frank with you and earnest. You got so many people in the church now that don't even want to do what they're supposed to. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to study. They don't want to pray. They complain about every event that you ask them to do in the church. So you think about it, people who come to church don't want to do. Imagine about those who are on the outside of the church. They certainly don't want nothing to do with the church or God. I hear it all the time from people. You know, and the world now is so sensitive on things. You can't say things to certain people anymore. You can't. They don't want you saying certain things, or you hurting people's feeling, or are you wrong, or you're not politically correct. This is the falling away. This is what the Bible says, the falling away must come first. Heed these signs. See, these things may seem secretive to those who are numbered, but they're not a secret to us. That's in the Word. These things are what? Made manifested. They're made known to us. We can see these things happening right before our eyes. We're just sitting there every day like, wow. We just keep looking at the sky every day like, well, it'll be here in a minute maybe. No, that's what we hope for, right? Because of what's going on in the world. Okay, so let's get back to the scripture. Let's go back over to the main scripture text. We're back over at 1 Thessalonians, the 17th chapter, okay? And I just want to double check to make sure I didn't miss anything, because, again, there's so much information, so many scriptures, and that I'm sharing with you, so I just want to make sure I don't miss anything. So we're going to go ahead and move forward to verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. It says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Who is them? We're talking about who? The dead saints. They're going to rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall what? We're going to meet them in the air. This is what it says. And watch what it says. It says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Salvation, hallelujah. We're going to be with Christ from there forever. We're going to always be with him. That's a beautiful thing. We're going to be with him. So there is no greater thing that we could ask for than to be with our Lord and Savior, to be in love, peace, joy, happiness, so many things that is the opposite of what we experience on a day-to-day basis. This is the key. This is the answer right here that you've been looking for. You know, to you say, well, oh, I'm stressed, I can't pay my bills, you know, day-to-day, a job, money, marriage, relationship, all these failures in life, things that trouble you, these trials and tribulations, what is the answer? This is the answer to racism, to murdering, to kidnapping, to raping, to molesting, to cheating, stealing, anything that you can think of. This is the answer. Christ is the answer. I tell people all the time, what is the answer? I remember a long time ago, almost 20 years ago when I first got saved, I had one of my good friends, she asked me, she said, "Tim, I want to know what's my purpose here in life." I looked, I said, "Well, your purpose here is to live for the Heavenly Father, to be saved, and to make him happy. The Bible says in Revelation that I have created you for my purpose, for my joy." Okay? So if you want to say, well, he created us for his entertainment, if you want to look at it that way, hey, I'm happy with that. As long as I know that he loves me and I get to be with him for all eternity, yes. I said, that's your purpose. She didn't have much to say after that, but sometimes that's a little tough for people to swallow. It was tough for me to swallow, you know, before I got saved. That's why I'm here. So we're not here just to do us, okay? But guess what? You're going to get the greatest gift. On the other side of that, Paul said, "I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man." But we don't know what he got for us on the other side. Don't you want to be a part? It's like a kid waiting on Christmas. Man, I don't know what I'm getting. You remember them days? You didn't know what your parents were getting you for Christmas, but you knew that it was going to be good. You knew that you were going to love it. This is what this is for us.
this is like the greatest thing that we're waiting for. I remember, man, you know, my babies would look, oh, man, they would be so happy because, you know, all the things that you design, the things that you can't think of, you're going to receive. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Okay, let me move on. So let's go over to St. John, the 17th chapter, verse 24. St. John, the 17th chapter, verse 24, okay? There's a lot of great things are going to happen, and I just want you all to be a part of this blessing. Don't miss out. It says, verse 24 says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me, where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I love this plan of salvation, okay? When Adam fell, there was a plan to redeem man because of his love back to him. And in this context, and what Christ is talking about, is guess what? You'll get to be here with me for all eternity. A beautiful thing. I just want to share that scripture with you. I'm going to move on. I just want to share that with you. We're going back over to, we're almost through with the deceased saints, okay? We're almost through. Verse 18, real simple. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words, okay? We have to continue to think about that. I think about the things that I deal with in life, and this is how I comfort myself. This too shall pass, okay? He will come back and get me, whether he comes back while I'm alive or when, if I happen to pass away. I comfort myself, and I live my life with that, knowing that I have salvation and that he's going to return to get me as a child. We all deal with the same things. I deal with the same things that everyone else deal with. I go through stress. I deal with things on the job. I deal with people on the job, things I don't want to deal with. I have to deal with people on a day-to-day basis. We deal with life. We deal with bills. We deal with being, the body's not feeling well. Sometimes we stress or whatever may be going on in our lives, personal things. Okay, we get down and out. Okay, this is a part of, but we got the victory. See, that's the comfort that I have, is that in the end I have the victory. Okay, but before I move on to part two of this message, okay, we got a little bit more time left. I want to go over to Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 12. I just want to share something with you. This is kind of referring back to 1 Thessalonians, the 14th chapter, verse 17. Go to Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 12. I actually just decided at the last minute when I was studying to throw this verse in there. I thought it was interesting. And this is just basically just an example of what's going to happen, okay? This is Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 12. It says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. This is the same thing that was going to happen to us as the saints. These people are not your friends. You may think these non-believers are your friends. The Bible says that they're enemies. They really are, because the truth be told, they really hate us. They really do. They don't like the saints. I've experienced that over the years. They don't really too much care for us. But the Bible says here in verse 12, and I believe that this voice that's speaking to these two believers, these two witnesses, was Christ. And he told them what? To come up hither, come up to heaven, okay? And it says, and they ascended up to heaven in the cloud. But I thought what was so beautiful was how he has the power to call them back to life. And then they came up to heaven. This is the power that our Lord and Savior have. And then it says that their enemies beheld them. Your enemies are going to behold you. If Christ was to come back this instant, all the people who didn't believe that was talking that smack, let's just keep it real. That's what they're talking smack. I've had people to talk smack to me in the past when I witnessed the people. That people talking, oh, they get cute, they get smart, they say all these little things. I'm like, okay. And they're going to be looking like wow, like he was telling the truth. They're going to remember that. It's going to recall their memory when we're caught up into heaven. Okay, don't think that it's not. is going to come back to them. So now we're preaching to get into part two of the message, okay, which is going to be coming from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 49 through 55. Now, I actually added some verses to this context. I just felt that it was significant to add the, verses 49 and 50 and then add verses 53 through 55, which they're all part of the same context. They all have something to do with this context, this teaching, which I'm about to go into part two, which is the living believers. But really, I could have used verses 51 through 52 would have been good enough, just those two verses. But I just want to add to it. I think it's just better to add to it. Okay? So now we're going to go ahead and take a look at verse 49. Okay? And now we're dealing with the living saints, the saints that will be alive at the time when Christ's return. They're going to be still walking the earth, okay? Now, let me just stick to the context. I'm just going to go ahead and read. I don't want to get too much information. I just want to stick to the context. Verse 49 reads and says, "As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." So what is Paul saying? When Yahweh created Adam, he created him a man. He gave him an image and made him in his image, but he was made flesh and blood, okay? And so when Adam and Eve decide to be disobedient to our Heavenly Father, sin and death enter into the world. And so because of that, there caused a separation in a relationship with the Heavenly Father. He could no longer deal with Adam and Eve the way that he did before, because they had basically listened to Satan. And so because of that, Christ was sent to redeem us, okay? So now we're talking about the two different images. One is a flesh, the other one is a spiritual, okay? Remember, I'll tell you that all things are spiritual before they're natural, okay? Now, with that, we're going to think about the likeness, okay? The likeness. So we're going to have the likeness of man, which is Adam. And then the other likeness is a spiritual likeness, okay? Which we're going to get into the explanation of that. In fact, I think it's best that I go ahead and share it with you now. Let's go ahead and go over to Luke. It's going to come from Luke, and I actually forgot to write it down, but I know where it's at. It's going to be in Luke. In fact, let me share something with you. I remember taking this course in school, and Luke is the only book that gives an account of Christ in this manner after his resurrection, before he ascended. We're going to come from Luke, the 24th chapter. Let's look at verse 36 through 39. I'm just going to read those three verses just to be quick. Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 39. And again, the book of Luke is the only book that gives this account. It says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit." Now, isn't that interesting? So when they saw Christ again, he looked like a man, like they remembered him, like they recalled him, but he also looked like a spirit. And so they was afraid. So can you imagine if you saw someone who has this earthly look but also this spiritual? Some people like to say ghostly. I don't like to use ghostly. I don't think that's a good way to interpret the spirit, because to see something that's more on the spiritual side of Yahweh, that's heavenly, they have a light about them. They have a glow about them. And that's what it was. Christ had this glow about him. So they didn't know what to think, right? And so watch this. It says in verse 38, "And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, and that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." That is so neat. I thought that was so deep when I read that, because we can only imagine what the disciples were thinking when they saw him. This is so amazing. We have to do the best that we can to envision how it's going to be for us. We're going to look the same exact way. And this is what I was describing over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 49, when we should bear the image of mankind, Adam. But now we're going to bear the image of Christ when he returns. Okay, we talked about this a little bit last week, when we shall see him face to face, and we shall see him as he is. You're going to be a spirit, but yet you're going to have the same fleshly body. Now, the beautiful thing about it, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's go back over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to share that with you in reference to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 49. I thought that was so neat. I think that's the best way to describe verse 49, was that when they saw him, he looked like Christ, but he also looked like a spirit. He had this angelic look about him, which I thought was so neat. And this is how we're going to look. You're going to be so beautiful. Now, watch what it says in verse 50. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 50. We're almost done. It says, "Now this I say, brethren." So this is how we know he's talking to who? The believers, the saints, right? Talking to us that believe. "That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither do corruption inherit incorruption." Okay? So what is he saying here? Okay? So he's saying, because we have sin, we were born in sin. And because we were sold unto sin, we've done sinful things in this body, this decaying body cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It just won't work. It's like mixing water and oil. It don't mix. It won't work. Okay? You cannot put this decaying body in a spiritual heaven, in a perfected heaven. You have to be made, a change that has to be made in order for you to fit, in order for you to dwell there, okay? Because our flesh has been infected with what? Sin. You're infected. You are. We have a sinful mindset, okay? We say sinful things. We do sinful things. We do sinful acts. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, "I am carnal, sold into what? Sin," which means I'm going to do some sinful things. We have a mortal body, okay? So think of it in this manner. This body that we have, we get sick. We have to bathe it. So we have to clean it. We have to try to maintain it, okay? There are so many things about this flesh that's decaying. It's dying. We're born dying. And as beautiful as babies are, it's hard to believe that they are what? Born dying. And when I spiritually understood that, I understood the effects of sin. This is what sin has done to mankind. And because we have disobeyed the Heavenly Father, this is the result of it, is death. Okay? This is the result of disobedience, is death. Okay, remember when Satan lied, when Lucifer lied to Adam and Eve in the beginning in the garden? He said, "You won't surely die." See how Satan is? See the trick that he played? He said, "You won't surely die." So what he was saying, well, you ain't going to die instantly, but you will die. You know, he was thinking that in the back of his mind. You're going to die. You're not going to die yet. And so we're going to get into that also. There's a phase to death. There are three phases that we're going to get into. Okay, so now we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 50. Okay, so let's take a look at, before I do that, I have some more verses to share with you. I better get moving. I got some verses to share with you. Let's go over to Genesis, the 5th chapter, verse 3. I'm going to share these two verses with you swiftly. I tell you, I have a lot of verses to share with you. So I am grateful to, let me just take out this time while I'm going over there to say that I'm grateful for this opportunity and this chance to share life with you, because this is what this is. This is life. I am giving you life. The greatest asset in the universe is life. The greatest gift is life, and I am very grateful and honored and thankful to be able to give you this message, in which is by the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father, to share life and love with you, because the greatest thing, family, we are in a beautiful situation. And you know, I can say this, if you're young and you're listening, I can only pray that you receive salvation, because you know we always say this as we get older: if I only knew then what I know now. Right? Okay, so I just want to share this with you. I'm just going to share it with you. Genesis, the 5th chapter, verse 3, it says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat sons and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. The purpose of that, sharing that verse with you, was the likeness. We are, so when you think about the likeness that we're born in, when we see people, you know what's the funny thing? Let me share this with you. I was just in the store just yesterday, and one of my brother's, older brother's classmates saw me, and it was a funny thing because I was turned, and he saw me. And he called my last name, and it was funny, and I turned around. I was like, wow. And he said, man, I knew you. I said, I knew you was a Jackson. And I said, man, y'all all look alike. And there was six of us. And he said, man, it's a funny thing because when you were in a family, you have a likeness. People know you when they see you. I don't care if you could be a child or a youngest brother, or people know you when they see you. And I just thought that was, I just want to share that because we have the likeness of Adam. So that's how we know that we are mankind. And I'm going to teach on some things about that in the future, but not right now. But I just want to share that with you. So go to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 18. I'm moving swiftly because time is moving. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 18. Okay, let's go there. Second Corinthians, third chapter, verse 18. And it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Who are we changed into the same image as? Christ. We're changed into the same image as Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So now on this earth, we look like Adam, but soon we will look like as Christ looked. So we have basically the privilege of having this body and looking, having an angelic look. You're going to look beautiful. And I used to share this when I used to teach this message a long time ago, that your body is going to be, you can't imagine how you're going to look. And I think I talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, I've lost hair. You know, I've lost my hair. So, you know, it's going to be neat to think about how we're going to look. More likely, I'm going to have my hair, I believe. I think that's a neat thing. That's a plus, right? I'll have my hair. You're probably not going to have weight on you. You know, you're going to look so, because what you have to understand is because of sickness and decay and the foods that we eat, it has changed the way we look from childhood to adult, right? We've picked up weight. We've lost hair. Our hair is gray. Our bodies get sick with illnesses. You know, we are attacked in so many different ways. So this thing that Lucifer sold Adam and Eve on was man. He sold them on death. That's what he sold them on. Can you imagine? You think you're going to get all this knowledge and all these good things, and ha-ha, he tricked them. And you're like, man, what's going on? I'm naked now. I can see myself. You know, and let me share this with you real quick. When I was in school, one of the things that the scholars and the theologians, they debated about and they believed was that the reason that Adam and Eve didn't know that they were naked before, they were clothed with the light, with the angelic light. They had a glow about them, so they couldn't see their nakedness. That's something that they debate about now. That's not scripture, so don't take that anywhere. I'm just saying that's one thing that there was a debate in class, that it was a belief that they had this angelic light on them. They had a glow, so when Adam and Eve looked at each other, they couldn't see each other's nakedness. And so I'm just sharing with you the likeness that we're going to be dealing with when Christ comes back to get us. So we're going to go ahead and move on. Okay, so verse 51, we kind of covered that. I'm going to read it again. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52 gives a description. It says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, okay? So I told you earlier that it is a belief there's going to be three trumpet sounds, okay? So we'll probably get into that in the future. I don't have time to cover that now. But it talks about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be changed so fast. Faster, in other words, twinkling of an eye is faster than you can blink. Can you imagine that? Faster than you can blink, you're going to go from sitting in your chair, listening to me, whatever you're doing, sitting on the couch, sitting on, you know, wherever you're at, driving your car or whatever, but you're going to be changed, okay? Now, there is a belief. Now, understand, you know, I think there was a movie that came out several years ago. I can't recall it. But it talks about, basically it was referring to, as some people call it, then the rapture, the gathering of the saints. It's not going to be like a lot of people think. Planes are not going to be falling out the sky. Cars are not going to be crashing one another. Because let's get an understanding. Our Heavenly Father is, he does all things what? Decent and in order. Okay? Now, if his desire is for those who are lost that's going to witness this, for them to be saved, I don't think he's going to want them to die instantly after they see this, unless it's on by their own hand. I'm not laughing to be jokingly funny, but I'm just saying, I couldn't imagine that. You know, if they see us go to heaven, it's like, oh, then boom, crash. You know, they're dead now. They don't get the opportunity, because some are going to actually believe after they see us get caught up. Some people are going to believe after that. And I'm going to get into that later, how people are going to be saved, because immediately after this, the tribulation is supposed to begin. And so whenever this time is going to take place. So understand, this is my belief. And this is me, this is my theory, so let me make sure I put that out there. I actually believe at the time this is going to take place, that saints are going to be scarce in numbers. You have a lot of people say, oh, there are millions and millions of saints on this earth. Well, okay, maybe, maybe not. I think they say there's almost close to a billion saints on the planet. That's very debatable, because everybody that goes to church is not saved. I'll tell you that now, okay? So we're probably talking about a time where the Bible and the teachings of the Word are probably going to be almost far forgotten, to where it's going to be a secretive thing to teach the Word, to where people have to go in secret and teach the Word. So that's just my belief, because I believe that when this takes place, there's going to be a good number of believers in the world, but I don't believe that things are going to happen to where when Christ come back to get to church, that this is going to cause the rest of the world to be impacted by a lot of death in that way, that planes are going to be crashing, the cars are going to be driving off bridges, just things like that. I just remember seeing that movie, and I just thought that was like, huh, that's interesting. That's an interesting view. I just don't believe it's going to be that way. But, you know, again, it's up for, you know, everyone has their own thought on that, but that's just my thought I want to share with you. But back to the scripture. So it says in verse 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay? So this verse is a very powerful verse, because in this verse, when it says that we shall be raised incorruptible, we shall now have an immortal body, because the things that we worried about, eating, sleeping, stress, you think about it, depression, and whatever it was that we were dealing with, you no longer have to deal with those things. I can't tell you how beautiful that's going to be, to immediately go from being worried about things to not have to worry about things ever again for all eternity. Isn't that beautiful, family? That is so beautiful, that you're not going to have to worry about, you know, your high blood pressure or stress, or if you have a headache, or your bills are due, or if you're going to be able to pay off that mortgage. Those things are not going to matter. In fact, really, do they matter? Think about it. Do they really matter now? They really don't. Not compared to the Word. Because the Bible says only what you do for Christ shall what? Shall last. So we should be spending most of our time reading our Bible, studying, sharing the Word, teaching the Word, showing love. That's what we should put most of our focus on, not trying to become the next billionaire. And I'm not saying for you not to focus on that, but if you don't have him first, you trying to focus on getting a doctorate degree, that should be secondary. Christ should be far, far first in your life than any other thing that you can think of or imagine. He should be first, not, is my lights going to get cut on or get cut off? Don't get me wrong. Food in the refrigerator, lights and electricity running is important. It's essential to your life and your livelihood. But I believe that if you have him first, he's going to take care of that anyway. Because the Bible says, well, I should take care of all your needs according to what? My riches and glory. So if we just follow in the Word, if we just hold his hand, family, and just walk with him, everything's going to be all right. In fact, if you walk with him and holding his hand, it's going to be all right anyway. Okay? At least that's my belief. Okay? That's where I stand. So now we're going to move on. Okay, so what other verses do we have? Because I have to move quickly. Let me share with you real quick. 2 Corinthians the fifth chapter, verse 4. And I actually just added this verse today. I just felt like it was a need to add it. Maybe, maybe not. So it's going to be 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, verse 4. Okay? So it says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Isn't that what I was just saying? This tabernacle, meaning this house, this body, we groan. You know, there's some days I get up out of bed, you know, man, you know, feel like it's, you know, you have a crick in your neck, maybe you didn't sleep good, you know, it's rough, maybe you don't feel too well, maybe you have a headache some days. We do groan. We you know, the Bible said that we do complain about this body. We try not to, but we do. It says being what? Burdened, right? Not for that we would be unclothed. What does it mean when the scripture says unclothed? In other words, not to be here. Not to be clothed with this flesh, not to be living, not to be here. But it says, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. This is what it's saying. So in other words, there are some times where I'll be like, Lord, I'm serious. I've thought this so many times throughout my life, when I'm dealing with, especially what I'm going through. It's not that I don't want to be alive. I want to be here for my family, friends, and loved ones, mainly for my family and my loved ones, and also to teach and preach the word. But there are times where, man, not that you want to do anything to yourself, not certainly not. We don't think that. But sometimes we're like, Lord, you know what? If you came back and got me today, if you cracked the sky open today, I wouldn't be mad at you. We think that way sometimes. And this is what the word is saying. It says that we would be unclothed. For that we would what? But clothe upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Lord, come and get us today. We'll be okay. The house will be okay. Hey, you know, the job, these folks ain't going to miss me no way, right? It's going to be okay. And this is what the scriptures say. So we're going to go back over to the main scripture text. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 53. Amen. All right, verse 53. I do apologize. Verse 54. This is what it says. So when this corruptible, I mean this flesh, this corruptible body, this sin that we've done wrong, we've done evil things, we know what we've done in the closet, out of the closet, on the side of the closet, you know, everywhere else, right, shall have put on incorruption, right? So in other words, when we have put on the perfectedness, the perfected body, the immortal body, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Glory, hallelujah. Boy, I love my Heavenly Father. I love His Son, Yeshua. I love Him because this is so beautiful. Death is swallowed up in victory. Do you know how many people fear death? I remember when one of my daughters, when she was little, she said, "Dad, I'm afraid of dying." And that just like mystified me. I said, "But why?" And I understand that children, and even sometimes adults, think as children. They don't understand when they don't believe. They are so afraid of death. I tell saints all the time, you have nothing to be afraid of. Death is not something that we fear. The Bible says that He has not given us the spirit of fear. The least thing that you should fear of anything is death. You should fear probably losing your house probably more than death, right? I'm serious. Because some, and not to make light of death, if you are a non-believer, you definitely should fear death. But as believers, we don't fear death. When we close our eyes, the angels are right there to take us on to glory. How beautiful is that? The word says that death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Whose victory? Christ's victory. And now also our victory, because He has given us. So let's go to some more verses before we get ready to shut it down. We got to move. Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verses 8 and 9. I must read. This is a very important scripture. Isaiah, see if I can find it. Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verses 8 and 9. See if I can get there real quick. See what I have to start doing. I just started having some bookmarks so I can get to these scriptures a lot faster. Okay. Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9. This is what it reads. It says, he will swallow up death. Who is he? This is Christ. They were prophesying about the Messiah. They knew he was coming. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Isn't that beautiful? And I thought about that. You know what's funny that I'm reading this? Because I thought about this years ago, and even today, even throughout this week, we're probably just going to be crying. We probably going to have tears that because we're going to say, we made it. We made it. We came through. We made it. You're probably going to be crying so much, and just, and there are going to be tears of joy, not of sorrow, tears of joy. He said that he should wipe away tears from all of all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all of the earth. In other words, you know what? You don't have to worry about that no more. That's the past. Rebuke that. Anything that you've done and went through, and that's the past. Maybe you got the victory. You're a winner. You got the victory. And it says, for the Lord has spoken it. Man, that's powerful. Verse 9 says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. Ooh, man, that ain't that the truth. And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That is so beautiful. And I can tell you, family, I can only hope that if you are in thought, if it's a challenge to you to become saved, let it no more be a challenge to you after this message today. Salvation is simple. Please don't let nobody tell or teach you any different, because they don't have a heaven or hell to place you in. You know, people want to try to make this like this, you know, like it's a training camp for you to get into heaven. Hey, look, it's all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and thou shalt be saved. You know, victory is yours if you just receive him today. I say it right now with you in your car, at home, wherever you may be, you know, group session, listening, just receive him. Know that you got the victory, okay? I'm about to get ready to close, shut it down, okay? Now we are in verse 54. Is that what I just read? Verse 54. I did. Go to Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14 and, well, sorry, verse 2. Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14 and 15. I got to get moving. Time is almost up. But we're going to be able to finish it. Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14, it reads, for as much then as the children, well, that means we're the believers, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Who had the power of death? Lucifer. Satan had the power over death. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We have the victory, family. I think you're ready to shut it down. And in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 14, I must read this. I love Revelation. Revelation is the 14th chapter, 20th chapter, verse 14. Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 14. I have to read this verse. I love this context. I'm going to teach on it one day. It says, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And this is the verse where I actually learned that hell and the lake of fire are two different places. I was like, what? Wait a minute. You mean hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire? Hey, the lake of fire is nothing to play with. You think death and hell is nothing to play with. The lake of fire is nothing to play with. I mean, you think about the greatest pain. And, you know, we've all probably broke a limb or something like that. We've all been hurt some type of way, been punched, been hit. I can't think of nothing that hurts worse than something that's hot. And I'm serious. I mean, you know, I've been burned, you know, not very severely, but, you know, I had an incident almost 20 years ago. And lucky it didn't leave a scar over the years. But, man, I tell you, boy, that is some pain. You know, you get burned, that's some pain. And, you know, I tried to put water on it, cold water, thinking it was gonna soothe it. Man, that cold water inflamed that flame. Boy, I feel like I just lit myself again or something. And it hurts. It's painful. And I'm like, man, who want to go to the lake of fire? What are we thinking? You know, get your life right. Because to think that this is going to be for all eternity, I'm praying for you. I am praying for you that don't believe. Trust me, man. We're almost done. Verse 55, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 55, very important verse. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Okay? So you think about death. Death is different from the grave, okay? But they all work together, okay? So in the Greek, the word grave is interpreted to mean hell, Hades, which is where departed souls go to. So make no mistake about it. When you leave this world, you will go somewhere. The Bible talks about there is no conscience in the grave, meaning that you have no consciousness of this world, but you are conscious. You know that you're going to be in hell. You know, in fact, Christ talked about Lazarus and dies, you know, how one was down there, and he said, you know, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger, for I am parched in this flame. The flame wasn't fire. The flame was torment. It was pain is what it interprets to mean. And so you're going to go somewhere. We are spiritual beings. You are made to live. So whether you live away separate from the Heavenly Father or with him, see, that's a choice. You're going to be either separated by death, okay, meaning that you're going to continue to die spiritually, or you're going to live, okay? Again, there are three phases of death. One is physical, okay? The other one is spiritual. The third is eternal. Those are the three phases of death, okay? So Christ has the power over all three. He's going to restore your flesh, and then I gave you the comparison, how he's going to give you a new, the spiritual side that you're going to be connected. You have a spiritual glow. So you don't have this flesh that's going to be repaired. Then you're going to be like a spirit, like the angels, right? You're going to have an angelic look about you. And then the eternal life, the greatest gift, he has the power over death. So what Satan took, Christ took it back from death and hell, said, no, I got the power now. I got the keys to hell. You will no longer destroy people's body. You will no longer affect them spiritually in their mind. And you can't affect them eternally, for all eternity. This is the power that he has. And I'm about to close out. I'm just going to share these verses with you because I don't really have time to get to them. I might. I'm going to try to. Time may run out on me. So we're going to go to Ephesians 4 and 8 and 10. So Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 8 through 10. Okay? And I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led, captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? In other words, before he went back to heaven, he went into Hades. He went to hell. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Right? So now what are we saying? That Christ, when we just teach this in seminary, when he went in, he led the saints that were in paradise back up to heaven. You will go somewhere when you leave this place. The saints, when you leave, your fleshly body will stay here on earth, but your spirit is going back to be with the Heavenly Father. And until Christ returns, then those dead saints and their spirit and their body are going to come back together in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm just going to give this last one. Check out a few more. I may be able to make it. 2 Corinthians 5, 8, and 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 8, and 10. Hopefully we'll be able to give them. I'm just going to give you the scriptures. Hopefully you can write them down. 2 Corinthians 5, 8, and 10. This is 8 through 10. It says, we are confident, I say, and rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to teach on that in the weeks to come about what's going to happen when you leave this world. I'm going to teach you about what happens to your body. So I don't want to get too deep into it now, but I'll save these verses for next week. And we'll talk about the judgment seat, the judgment of the saints, the believers, and the judgment of the non-believers. That's going to be next. We're going to talk about that next week. And I'm going to give you the last scripture, which is Philippians 1 and 23, that I'm going to close out and get out of your way. I love each and every one of you. with the spiritual Heavenly Father, with the love of God, and you all be blessed until we get the chance to meet again. Philippians 1 and 23, hope I can get to say it before this time runs out. If not, I was able to deliver the verse to you, so I may not be able to get this scripture to you. Philippians 1 and 23, it says, "For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." This is what the scripture is saying. We want to be here, but at the same time, we want to be with Christ, right? We want to be with him. So again, you know, when you leave this world, whether you believe or don't believe, you're going to go somewhere. You're going to go and be with Christ, or you're going to go to Hades. You make your choice. But I love each and every one of you. Hopefully something was said to bless each and every one of you. Again, family, I am Tim, the overseer. I love each and every one of you. Again, we'll be back next week, and we'll be talking about what happens to us during judgment and the rewards that you're going to get. These are just all continuation. And then after that sermon next week, we'll get into Revelation, because I think this is the day and time that we need to talk about Revelation and teach through Revelation. Again, I love each and every one of you. I'd like to thank Chaos Talk Radio and Derek Oliver. You all be blessed. Thank you. And until next time, family, bless the kingdom. Good night.